Good afternoon, brethren, and Sabbath peace to all of you. I forgot my homework. Well, rather, I forgot to do my homework. I'm sure that a few times, as not to get into trouble, a homework assignment was handed in late because my dog ate my homework. That is so old school. The new excuse is my computer crashed and I didn't save my work and my printer stopped working. But the real reason I did not do my homework is because my priorities were out of order. I put other activities ahead of my homework. What is the purpose of homework? The simple answer: to enhance student learning. But why? One reason, and there are many, to ensure the student is ready for class and tests. The best time of day to learn new things is the pattern of increasing efficiency through the waking hours to a peak in mid-afternoon has been repeated in numerous studies. Researchers have found that, in general, efficiency is at its lowest ebb in the early morning and at its highest about 4 p.m. when it begins to decline. These results are based on average patterns. The time now is 2:43. If we were to trade places right now, you and I would already be thinking, this whole intro, I hope it's not leading up to a test. As a matter of fact, it is. And with that statement, your body is on alert. You're thinking, I hate tests. The adrenal cortex automatically releases stress hormones. The thyroid gland automatically stimulates the metabolism. Relax. Relax. This is going to be an easy test. And I am stressing easy. Jacob's 12 sons in order by birthright? No. Well, it will be easy for me because I have the test answers right in front of me. But I'm going to give you calendar dates, and you write down what that date means or represents. December 7th, 1941. November 22nd, 1963. April 1st, 1978. January 28th, 1986. November 11th, 1918. September 11th, 2001. And December 6th, 2014. Now, most of these dates, you immediately had the answer. They are permanently attached to your memory because they are connected to you personally. Some you don't recognize, but they still are important. Let's review. December 7th, 1941, the United States is attacked at Pearl Harbor. November 22nd, 1963, President Kennedy is assassinated. April 1st, 1978. Anyone here get that? That's the day I married my bride, unfortunately. She's not here to appreciate that, but I would be the fool if I forgot that date. January 28th, 1986, the Space Shuttle Challenger broke apart 73 seconds into its flight. November 11th, 1918, World War I ends. September 11th, 2001, four hijacked airplanes used for suicide attacks against the United States. December 6th, 2014. That's today. Two of these dates have built into them, remember. December 6th, today, it's remember the Sabbath day. The other one, September 11th, 2001, this date has built into it the idea of remembering by using another phrase, never forget. Never forget by remembering what occurred that day. Today's message is about remembering by not forgetting. Today's title, Never Forget. As students of the Bible, there are enormous amounts of instructions that we are not to forget. Most are attached to our memory by who we are. We are the people of God. And this is the Eternal's instruction manual. Every human situation is identified in this book, whether directly or by principle. Simply said, we are learning, according to God's standards, to do the right thing. This summarizes our journey here on this earth. Doing the right thing is instructed through His inspired words. One reason we study this book, so we are ready to pass the tests that we encounter unexpectedly each day. Kind of like this morning, you had no warning to prepare for this quick quiz that was introduced today, but you had to answer based on what you had in here, in your mind. During the time in the classroom, if your teacher repeats something, you recognize this is important. If your teacher repeats something three times, chances are good this will be on the test. Which brings us to the key scriptural passage for today's message. Turn with me to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, verses 12, 13, and 15. 2 Peter 1, verses 12, 13, and 15. We'll begin reading verse 12. Therefore, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know them and are established in the present truth. Verse 13. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, this body, to stir you up by reminding you. In verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease or my departure. Three times in four verses, Peter is telling the church brethren that it is important for him to remind them of these things. By reading verse 14, he shows the urgency and the reason to remind them. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. His time is short. Peter would soon die. And before his death, it was urgent that he remind the brethren of these things. What things? Well, let's back up to verses 10 and 11, and we'll read. 2 Peter 1, verses 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By doing these things, you will never stumble. And notice the semicolon. Using the semicolon, we can insert the word therefore. Therefore, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by doing these things. This is our goal collectively. It's the kingdom of God. So, what are these things Peter is speaking of? Let's go back to verses 8 and 9. And we'll read For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If you practice these things, you will be fruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Fruitful. If you don't practice these things, you will become blind, spiritual blindness, and forgetful of your calling and your spiritual forgiveness. So we can begin to see the high level of importance with these things that I'm not to forget. The answers can be found in verses 5, 6, and 7 of 2 Peter 1. So let's read verses 5, 6, and 7. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And if we read verse 8, if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things are yours, that you possess them, you'll be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. From these verses, we see eight characteristics of a Christian: faith, virtue, which is moral excellence or righteousness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Since we are in the optimal time of day to learn new things, let's hold our place and let's close our book and let's try to remember these eight things from memory. I'm not looking at my sheet, believe me. So Peter said faith, and then he said add virtue. And then he said add knowledge, godliness, patience, brotherly kindness, love. That's seven. Which one did I miss? I'm asking for your help. Self-control. Self-control. So it begins with faith. He adds virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Now let's open our Bibles again and we'll review. I would like for you to make a column if you're taking notes. And the left-hand side, eight lines. And one through eight, we'll write faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. As we look at this list, does this look familiar? Do those qualities look familiar to you? Those qualities are very similar to what Paul recorded in Galatians 5:22. The nine fruits of God's Holy Spirit. Since you have your column on your left, let's write a column on the right. And here are the fruits of God's Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Peter's list is almost identical to Paul's list in Galatians 5. What do you see? Well, we can conclude that both lists are almost identical in word or principle. Surprising. No, not really. Because they both had the same teacher, Jesus Christ. He's our teacher. And now we are the students. This is our time now to learn these instructions, that we may be equipped to teach them. So let's look at the list again, 2 Peter 1. And let's hold that list up to a mirror. And we ask ourselves this question: is this me? But before you answer, let's notice something concealed in this list. And I submit to you that this list acknowledges your journey as a Christian. How so? Let's look at the list again. You are here today because the Eternal revealed himself to you, and you responded. You acted on it with a degree of faith, and then God began to work with you. Looking back on your calling, I am confident in saying that your faith has increased. But it began with a degree of faith. So what was next? Peter reveals here to add virtue. By definition, virtue is simply moral excellence, righteousness. We have added to our faith conformity to righteousness, specifically God's Ten Commandments. And now we add knowledge. Of the four exercises for a Christian, prayer, Bible study, fasting, and See, I knew this one, and I didn't have to write it down. Meditation. We commit to Bible study to boost our scriptural knowledge. So as you see this building process in your own lives, we are personalizing this list. To knowledge, Peter urges us to add self-control. This is truly a personal battle. And noting, what kind of control? Self-control. The ideal component of what it takes to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Supplemental to self-control, Peter instructs us to add perseverance. It's a course of action to continue to the very end, to never give up. Peter encourages us with this list to add godliness. Godliness can be summarized as putting God and his kingdom and his righteousness first in our lives. I asked a question earlier by holding this list up to a mirror. Is this me? I am confident that we begin to see our reflection in this list. But wait, there are two additional items still remaining on this list. So far, everything that we have covered has to do with you internally and your personal relationship with your Creator. These last two items have to do with external applications. They are what we do: brotherly kindness and love. Let's examine these last two items for the remainder of this message. In Strong's Concordance, brotherly kindness is translated Philadelphia. It's a familiar word. Philadelphia means fraternal affection. Phileo. Meaning brotherly love or love of the brethren. Phileo refers to brotherly love and is most often exhibited in a close friendship. It involves feelings of warmth and affection to one another. This is the type of love demonstrated every Sabbath through the action of fellowshipping. Try to adequately explain the concept and emotion accomplished through fellowshipping to someone who does not go to church. It's a very hard concept to relate. Peter three times reminds us to these things. What does the Bible have to say about love of the brethren? Turn with me to Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6 and verse 10. We'll begin reading in verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, if we don't give up. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Notice the word especially. It means particularly, exceptionally. Except a synonym for especially, before all else. If we turn to 1 Peter 1, verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. With a pure heart is to make clean morally. Souls here is referring to the spirit in man, how you think and respond. And obeying is submitting to the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, and its direction in our lives. Love of the brethren, Philadelphia, fraternal affection. We should not miss the continual emphasis on the doctrine of love of the brethren. Turn with me to Romans 12 and verse 10. Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, meaning cherishing one's kindred. Like the love you show parents or children, your natural relatives, as well as fraternal towards fellow Christians, with brotherly love and honor, showing value and esteem, preferring hold above in estimation to choose one another. One more, Hebrews 13, verse 1. Hebrews 13 and verse 1. This is very simple and plain. Let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love stand. Does Christian brotherly love really work? Even in situations of extraordinary difficulty, there's a reference in the scripture that speaks exactly to that. 25 verses in the book of Philemon. Turn with me to the book of Philemon. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, and then Philemon. I don't think I have ever cited that book for a message, but it speaks so much to this concept. Paul wrote this letter to Philemon, who was a believer in Colossae. He was a slave owner. One of his slaves, Onesimus, had apparently stolen from him. If we read verse 18, this is Paul speaking to Philemon. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. Then Anisibus ran away, which under Roman law, a slave running away was punishable by death. But Anisimus met Paul, and through Paul's ministry, he became a Christian. Verses 10 and 11, Paul says, I appeal to you for my son, Anisimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. Now, Paul was willing to return, or Anisimus was willing to return to his master. And Paul writes this personal appeal to Acts that he asked that he be accepted as a Christian brother. Verses 16 and 17, or 16 and 17. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Verse 17, and then you count me as a partner. Receive him as you would me. Paul writes this personal appeal to ask that he be accepted as a Christian brother. Paul was confident in Philemon's conversion. We cannot neglect nor forget that the people we rub shoulders with, God may begin to call to his way of life, just like he worked with you. There are hundreds of Bible verses about loving the brethren. Some are phileo, love of the brethren, and some are agape. Agape love is of and from God, whose very nature is love itself. In 1 John 4, verse 8, we are told God is love. God does not merely love, he is love itself. Everything God does flows from his love. God loves because that is his nature, an expression of his being. In 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7, it represents a list for Christians to follow. And Peter reminds us three times not to forget. Don't forget the standards listed. This is a progressive list. And we are adding or building one attribute to another. From the fundamental building blocks of a Christian, which is faith, to the advanced or graduate level, course of love, agape love. Let me give an example. When we first entered into our study of math, it began very basic. Simple addition, 1 plus 2 equals 3. Very basic, very fundamental. Yet there was noticeably consistency. 1 plus 2 always equaled 3. From simple math, we progressed or added algebra. Algebra led to geometry, geometry to algebra 2, algebra 2 to physics, and then to calculus. Each began with a fundamental principle to advance coursework, never forgetting the fundamental principles. This is how we are taught. This is how we learn. And I believe we can see the progression. I can't imagine if the coursework in grade school began with calculus. There would be an enormous amount of failure. But this list in 2 Peter begins with the fundamentals, faith, and ends in the advanced coursework of love, the agape love. The love that Jesus Christ himself taught. Let's turn to John 13, verses 34 and 35. This is the agape love Christ is speaking of. John 13, 34 and 35. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Notice he says a new commandment. This agape love will fundamentally be the hardest coursework of a Christian that you'll be engaged in. Jesus Christ gave the parable of the Good Samaritan as an example of sacrifice for the sake of others, even for those who may care nothing at all for us. Sacrificial love is not based on a feeling, but a determined act of your will and resolve to put the welfare of others above our own if we are to love as God loves. That love can only come from its true source. This is the love which has been poured out in our hearts through God's Holy Spirit. This is the power that enables us to love one another. Each week we are given an opportunity to express agape love to those people that we rub shoulders with in this world. Each week we are given the privilege to express phileo love, brotherly kindness towards God's people, the people he has personally called at this time. What a benefit and what a blessing that we can develop this brotherly kindness as a family together. Let's conclude, brethren. We're going to go back to where we began. 2 Peter 1. The Apostle Peter reminded the church three times in succession not to forget these things. Three times usually indicates this will be on your test. If these eight items are yours, meaning you have taken ownership, you have personalized these eight qualities, verse 8 then, we will read, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Twice in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, Peter instructs the church to give diligence to what you're about to do. Diligence means constant and an earnest effort. This will be how we personalize these qualities. As we hold this list up to a mirror, I ask the question, do I see my reflection? Do I see faith and virtue? Do I see knowledge and self-control? Do I see perseverance and godliness? And do I see brotherly kindness and love? The time has come for us, brethren, to stop asking these questions. And with the exclusive help of God's Holy Spirit, to begin to answer those questions.